In complete dependence, dear friends, upon our Lord to help us. I would draw your attention to that well-known phrase we find in the chapter we read in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Dear friends, when we look at these words of verse 8, we find there's a full stop before them and there's a full stop at the end. It's a sentence, but there's no verb. It's not of the normal construct of any language where there is a verb in a sentence. One wonders if the previous verse maybe should end with a comma. Concerning those who've spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The two verses being one sentence. Or may we, the verb is in the verb in the verse we're looking at. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, and today, and forever. But dear friends, never mind what the construction is. There's a sacred truth in these few words. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Really, there's no beginnings of these yesterdays. They are days right back from the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth and mankind upon this earth. Was not Christ Jesus the Word of God? Without him was not anything made that was made. But dear friends, in that Garden of Eden, there was the covenant of God's grace. Mankind sinned. They broke one law, one command. And you know, dear friends, that's a description of a sinner. Perhaps we consider sinners in the magnitude of their sins. But a sinner in God's sight is one who has broken just one command. And that living soul which he had breathed into Adam and was also in Eve, dear friends, it was lost. It became dead. In breaking that one commandment, as God said, they should not eat of that tree lest they should die. And they did die. They lost the beauty of that divine life which was breathed into them. In that soul. And dear friends, from Adam and Eve, the offspring, that which is now dead in spirit cannot bring forth anything that is living in spirit. As in Adam, we all die. We are born dead spiritually, aren't we, in trespasses and in sin. Or we may try to exalt ourselves and say we are better than many others. And in the outward form of what we do, that may be the truth. We don't get involved in such terrible evils as many do. But God looketh upon the heart. And dear friends, our hearts are deceitful like all others. Deceitful and dreadfully wicked. God is a holy God and cannot look upon sin with any favour at all. It's abominable in his sight, and the consequence is eternal death. So Adam and Eve, only not now coming into death of their bodies, but also for the judgment of their soul. Oh, dear friends, what a solemn state they came into, and now all this world, throughout all the ages, even today, it abounds, doesn't it, in sin, contrary to the word of God and the revealed will of God. And we are there amongst the wickedness of this world. Oh, when we look within our hearts, is there a day when we do not sin? You know, at the end of each day, we perhaps say, as we read God's word, Lord, forgive us our sins. But if someone says, tell me what they've been, will your heart openly confess that? Probably your heart cannot even tell you what they've been. But if someone says, what good things have you done today? What achievements have you made? Oh, you can soon tell those. Oh, dear friends, there's many evidences, isn't there, that we are sinners. Lost, ruined in the fall. And yet, oh, there was the covenant of grace. God speaking to Adam and Eve concerning, oh, some aspect of their judgment. But then to the serpent, the spirit of evil, the devil, the seed of the woman shall bruise thy head. The promise of the destruction of the power of evil, the power of sin. The promise of a remedy, the only remedy that could come to give life, restoring of life to the sin-sick soul. The seed of the woman shall bruise thy head. Dear friends, and this covenant of God's grace in the gift of his Son, not the seed of Adam, that is a sinful seed. But there would be the influence of the Spirit upon the woman, upon Mary. That was conceived in her would be wholly pure, the Son of God. Well, many times this promise of the covenant of grace, dear friends, is expounded in the Old Testament, in the law and in the prophets. Why, we don't go very far, do we? And we come to Abraham, called out of Ur of the Chaldees, and the promise of the Lord given to him, the covenant of the Lord, the covenant of grace given through Abraham, that in his seed, it would be of his line, would this woman come, and the son would be born. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Oh, dear friends, that's beyond the Jews, isn't it? All the nations of the earth, in one who should come, of the seed of Abraham. Dear friends, that promise, that covenant was given before the covenant of works, which was made known unto Moses predominantly, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. And that covenant, dear friends, it was weak because it depended upon the flesh, it upon the sinners themselves. For it was only those who walked and obeyed that law completely that would have any hope of eternal life. But that was never possible. The law was given to be a measure of the sin of the people, not for their salvation. The law could make nothing perfect. It could only define the depth of sin in which we are born, in which we commit. But the bringing in of a better hope did. What a lovely word. We read of it in Hebrews, don't we? And that promise through Jeremiah, a new covenant, not according to the covenant that I made with you when I brought you up out of Egypt, but I will put the law in their hearts, and they shall know me. I will take away their iniquities, pardon their iniquities, and will remember their sins no more. You know, dear friends, we don't read the title Covenant of Grace anywhere in Scripture. But that's what it is. A covenant whereby sinners receive that which they do not deserve. And it's closely linked, isn't it, with the Lord's mercy, that they do not receive what they do deserve. They are delivered from it. Now, dear friends, the coming of Christ was in the fullness of time. But the salvation of sinners did not just start then, did it? Oh, I love that portion in the book of the Revelation of John on the Isle of Patmos, when he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And yes, he was told what Jesus would have spoken to those seven churches. Oh, he that overcometh. They had to overcome many things. Some of the overcoming was of their own sinfulness, their own ways, their own unbelief, their own false doctrines. And some of it was the overcoming of the power of Satan and evil against them. But then John was shown a book, having seen the throne of God and a book in the hand of God. And no one was able to open that book. It was sealed with seven seals. And John wept, because John perceived that in that book were all the names of those who would be delivered from the power of their sins. All those who were within the covenant of his grace. And it was all sealed. And the day of judgment was approaching. And he wept. He got no hope in and of himself, even though he was a disciple. He needed that evidence, that open evidence in the day of judgment, that he was in the covenant of God's grace. And it was told him, weep not. For the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the book. Oh, we read of that, don't we, in Jacob, way back in Genesis. Of Judah, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. When Shiloh comes and so forth. And John looked and he didn't see this lion. He saw a lamb. A lamb that had been slain from the foundation of the world. Oh, dear friends, the eternal God. There's no such things as days and nights and hours and chronological events. It's one eternal now. Christ came, yes, at the appointed time upon this earth. But he came, dear friends, as a complete saviour for all those to whom would find grace in the eyes of God and be given that grace, and whom he would bestow mercy upon. Right from Adam's day, right to the end of time, a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now that was the price which had to be paid, wasn't it? The price that had to be paid to atone from sin. For the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And it's only through that death, the dying, the paying of the price for sin, that one could be saved from the wrath of God. And not anyone, not any. It had to be the seed of the woman, the holy child of God, that sinless one. Oh, like the lamb, and under the law had to be one without blemish and without spot. So Christ is called the Lamb of God. And he's the same yesterday. All the yesterdays from the beginning of the world. He's the same today. He's the same forever. For he died once and for all, bearing the sins of many. All that the Father gave him. You see, dear friends, we have to go back before the foundation of the world, don't we? We have to go back into eternity past. Oh, your God who spoke, and as Paul writes to the Ephesians, isn't it? Of a people chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Christ himself, the Son of God, ordained before the foundation of the world. Everything was settled before the creation came. Oh, Jesus prayed, didn't he, to his Father concerning the joy that he'd had with the Father before the world began, the glory he had with the Father. And we also read of it, of the coming, a prophecy of the coming of Jesus Christ, where he speaks in Micah concerning the coming of the seed of the woman. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrata, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler of Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. From everlasting. The margin says the days, if you can have days, of eternity. Oh, before Abraham was, Jesus says, I am, I am. The same yesterday, today and forever, the eternal Son of God, made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Oh, what a condescension, what humility, what love. For all that the Father hath given me, he said, are mine, and I shall raise them up at the last day. I will blot out all their transgressions. I will love them freely. Oh, dear friends, this is the only way we are going to obtain eternal life, isn't it? Through Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. Dear friends, no one has ever come into the eternal kingdom of heaven except by this way. There's no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That way, the Lamb of God. Oh, dear friends, we read much of the covenant of grace and of Christ and the likeness, the similitude of a lamb. We don't read very much further in Genesis, do we? When God commanded Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. By faith, Abraham obeyed the voice of God. Oh, we're told that he believed that even though he got to sacrifice his Isaac, it was him, through Isaac, all the nations of the earth would be blessed the following on. Therefore, he must arise again. If he were dead, he would be brought back to life. And Abraham went forth in faith, in obedience to the word of God. Oh, what a type that was. And there upon the altar, Abraham ready with the knife to slay Isaac, who had said to his father, "Father, here is the wood, and here's the fire, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" The answer from Abraham, "By faith, my son, God shall provide himself a lamb." Oh, it wasn't the death of Isaac, was it? For the salvation of the souls of sinners. It was the one who was to come, the seed of the woman, the seed of Abraham himself, the Lamb of God, for sinners slain. Oh, dear friends, we love that chapter of Isaiah 53, don't we? Concerning the report, who hath believed our report? And to whom? To those that believe it. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. There's our nature in Adam. But the Lord hath laid on him, his dear son, the iniquity of us all. Oh, what an imputation that was of sin. Dear friends, if you could measure your sins, how great a burden they would be if they were applied to you to stand before the holy God. Oh, I've mentioned, haven't I, about those who will cry for the rocks to cover them, and oh, such will be the dreadful fear of judgment, of eternal damnation in that last day, as they appear before a holy God. Oh, the magnitude of your sins, the magnitude of my sins, the magnitude of all the sins, a number which cannot be numbered, whom the Father had given to the Son. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Led him like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before a shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Oh, dear friends, when Christ suffered there, his time came. He didn't try to escape, did he? Didn't try to counter the false accusations against her. No, it said, "This is your hour, the hour of darkness, the hour of sin." But it was his hour to conquer the power of sin. "To this end was I born. For this purpose came I into the world." Oh, what was the word of God to Eve in the garden? "What is this that thou hast done?" Sin. The words of Pilate to Jesus. "What hast thou done? Bear the sins of many." Oh, there in Isaiah 53, God says, the Father to the Son, "My righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." But there's those few words before that, isn't there? "By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." Dear friends, that's how the Lord Jesus knows his people. He knows them better than you know yourself. He's borne all your iniquity. all your sins. Oh, dear friends, on such love my soul still ponder. Love so great, so rich, so free. Say, was lost in holy wonder, why, oh, why such love to me? And cried out, it is finished. Love's redeeming work was done. Oh, there is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus the same yesterday, right from the beginning of time. Today, in these hours that we are living today. And forever to the end of time. Dear friends, Jesus changed, didn't he? He wasn't the same bodily. He was born as a little child, a babe. He grew as a boy. He became a man. He knew changes physically and bodily. But in the work the Father gave him to do, to establish the covenant of grace, and that law to be put in the hearts of sinners to whom he would die, that where your sin abounds, his grace shall much more abound. He has ever been the same. Oh, as a child, did he not say, wish ye not I must be about my Father's business? He ever knew he was the Son of God. And at those very end of his days, oh, those solemn cries, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? As he bore the sins, abominable to the Father's sight. Why hast thou forsaken me? That all that the Father had given him would never be forsaken. Oh, thou in Christ Jesus, thou one with him, eternally one. Oh, dear friends, what a truth this is. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. All sinners have been saved by the same grace. All sinners have been taught the same truth by the Holy Spirit. Christ was ever the same, in eternity past, whilst upon earth, in eternity come. In him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He ever was God. His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. And dear friends, it's only through faith in Jesus Christ that you and I are going to be saved. To confess our sins before him. To look unto him, a dying Saviour. To know our Jesus crucified, to by far excel all things beside. And dear friends, once we know that truth within us, all things will remain the same. Because he will never leave us nor forsake us. That truth as it is in Jesus will ever abide in our heart. Saved by his grace through faith. Oh, faith may be tried, but it will ever abide in our heart. That redeeming love of Christ, no one can take it away. Oh, that was the strength of Job, wasn't it? Oh, the sorrows that Job had in his earthly life. Far greater than all of our sorrows, pains, afflictions, and the loss of all his possessions, his beloved children, his health and strength, and the testing, the trial of his integrity by those three friends, his spiritual integrity. Oh, he couldn't even find the Lord, could he? Oh, that I knew when I might find him. Alone in this great depth. How could he? How could he stand? How could he remain? How could he remain from cursing God? I know that my Redeemer liveth. Oh, dear friends, Job at the very early part, people said he lived at a similar time to Abraham. Right back in the beginning of time, he knew what it was to have a Redeemer. Christ Jesus, the Saviour of sinners. He knew by faith the coming of the seed of the woman. Oh, to destroy Satan's power, to deliver him from the sinfulness of his soul. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Then, friends, he knew what it was to have the price of his sins paid. A Redeemer pays the price to set at liberty. And he had the faith to know that Christ would rise again, having paid the price of his sin, his death. He liveth. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Oh, what faith. Dear friends, can you say the same thing tonight? You're a most blessed soul if you can. And it's Jesus Christ will be the same to you yesterday when he began this great work within you, giving it to you by the Spirit, although you've always been one with him. But you came to that time in your life when he renewed you in spirit. He changed your heart. He renewed your will. There was the new birth. Now Christ is the glorious name. You're one with Jesus, eternally one. None can ever pluck you out of his hands. None can ever pluck you out of the Father's hands. He and the Father are one, and you are one with them. You're a sinner, saved by grace, yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, dear friends, that's the truth alone in which we can stand, isn't it? There is no other way. And when we come to the trials of our faith in this earthly life, oh, we've read here, haven't we, in this chapter, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Some say, oh, that's God speaking as he did to Joshua. Yes, he did. But Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You're one with me. I bought you with a price. Now you're not your own, you're mine. All things are yours. Ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. And nothing can separate you from his love. Oh, dear friends, what sacred truths these are, aren't they? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, to carry us by faith through all the circumstances of our earthly lives, good and bad. By faith, pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. Oh, in times of tribulation, times of trouble, difficulties, grief, sorrows, oh, dear friends, we become weak in our faith so much, don't we? But faith will still be there. Job's faith became very weak, but it was still there. He had one thing which was the rock of his faith, the redeeming work of Christ. I know my Redeemer liveth, and he will not let me fall. He will not turn me over to the hand of Satan. No, in that last day, I shall stand. He's caused me to put on the whole armour of God. What is that armour, dear friends? Well, it's a poem what puts it like this, isn't it? We have a shield of faith, dear friends. God's Spirit is our sword. A helmet of salvation. Salvation of the Lord. Our loins are girt about with truth. With gospel peace we are shod. We've righteousness for breastplate, the armour of our God. Now that's Christ Jesus, isn't it? The same yesterday, today and forever. Abraham's God. Well, yes, we can go say Noah's God. Abraham's God, Jacob's God, Moses' God, David's God, all the way through. John's God who saw him in heaven. That lamb slain from the foundation of the world. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today and forever. All things spiritual, all things providential. And all we shall be able to say, dear friends, in that last day is, my Jesus hath done all things well. Amen.